Today on Hands On Photography, I'm going to pull up my magnifying glass and I'm going to critique and nitpick some of your photos. No, I'm not going to do too much nitpicking, just a little bit. Y'all stay tuned. Hands On Photography is brought to you from LastPass Studios. Using the same password everywhere is a security nightmare waiting to happen. LastPass puts you in control of your online life by storing all of your unique passwords in a secure, encrypted vault. Visit lastpass.com/twit.
This is Twit.
This episode of Hands On Photography is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy with one click for 3 months free. With the 1 year package, go to expressvpn.com/hop. Hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm Ant Pruitt, and this is Hands On Photography. Hope y'all are doing well. I'm unbelievable, as always. This is the podcast where I like to sit down and share with you different tips and tricks that are going to help make you a better photographer and a better post-processor. So if this is your first time checking out the show, go ahead and subscribe in whatever podcast app you're enjoying this on. And also go ahead and leave me a rating, a review, and share it out with other people to help grow the Hands-On Photography community. I really do appreciate all of you joining me each and every week here. It does mean a lot. Really do appreciate you all helping to grow the community. So now let's go ahead and get started with this week's episode. Okay, today I wanted to do a bit of another little bit of feedback, but primarily I'm going to focus more on image critiques because, again, I've asked over the several episodes to shoot me an email, shoot me a tag on Instagram or Twitter if you got some questions regarding the show or have some feedback to offer or just want an image critique. And boy, you guys are not shy about requesting an image critique, and I really love that. So I got some images we'll get into here momentarily, but first let's take a quick look at just one email that's just, you know, wanting to share some feedback and ask a quick question. So let's go ahead and check this out. All right, this message comes from Jason. I realize you've covered photo editing previously, but maybe you could specifically address the challenges of touching up scans of old photos that have become discolored over many years. I think this might be especially popular as many people may not have the means to purchase holiday gifts. A restored old photo can mean so much. Thanks and love the show. Hey, Mr. Jason, that's an excellent idea. Excellent idea. Way to think outside the box. And you're right that photo restoration can be a bit tricky, though. Now, you get images that are... You have to look at the paper that it was scanned on. You have to look at how bad the image has been through the wear and tear, if you will. And it's possible to try to do a little bit of restore, but just understand that there's going to be a lot of variables that can, you know, affect the success rate. I found an old photo of mine. Don't laugh at it, but I want to show it to you. It's scanned, and because it was an old photo, it didn't have a whole lot of resolution, so the scan is not going to look as sharp and great as today's current digital photography that you can even get on a smartphone. So let's switch over to my other screen here. Okie dokie. So if we look at the screen, this is just an old scan. Literally, I just set it on my scanner and scanned the image, and it's... not the sharpest. The only thing that I could really do with it, because it's in black and white, and even the black and white doesn't look like black and white, is I can try to adjust the contrast and color on it to try to make it pop a little bit more. Details, I'm not going to be able to give this additional sharpening. It's just not going to happen. I can push this sharpness and clarity sliders here on my screen, and it'll do a little something, but it's not... Yeah, that's not great. it does help a little bit, but you just got to find a way to sort of fine tune that when it comes to sharpness and clarity. But I definitely recommend checking out the contrast on it. If you can increase the contrast, you'll get a little bit more separation here. So as you can see, I'm pushing this contrast slider up just a touch. Okay. So now that looks a little bit better, maybe a little too much contrast. And if you want to adjust the exposure, you can. But again, be careful, because if you overdo it, you're just putting yourself back to square one. Now, lastly, you have to take a look at some of the other issues of this. This is the physical aspects of the photo paper being all crinkled and wrinkled. And look at all of this. This is not sensor dust that you see here, these little white specks and things like that. That's just from the paper being in pretty bad shape. That can be adjusted if you're pretty handy in the likes of Photoshop or other photo manipulation applications. I've already pulled this into Photoshop to take a quick look-see. And if I zoom in some and I want to work on handling some of those creases, I'll just use the spot healing and try to, you know, just blend them away and get rid of them like so. Something like that. So let me see. I'm going to take this little crease here. See my mouse right there. And I'll just brush away that crease. And if you look at my arm here, there's another crease going straight across my arm that looks like a cut. It's not a cut. That's just where the paper was bad. So let's fix that too. There. And even still, that's not great. And if I zoom in on it, I can't even zoom in on it too much because it's just not a lot of data there. So I have to be careful with that. So just understand that, yeah, this is quite possible. And the first thing that I would take a look at is the contrast and the exposure. And if you can get in and do a little bit of spot healing and just removing a couple of different artifacts on it, like the folds of the paper, that's the way to go. It's possible, but just know that you may be in for a bit of a battle depending on just how much work and that you have to put into it as far as handling just the bad artifacts of the paper and the bad artifacts of just the tiny, tiny resolution of that photograph. Okay. Thank you for that email. So now let's go ahead and take a look at our next email. Okay, our next bit of feedback, this is not an email, which did come in an email eventually. This is from my man, Mr. Jason Miller on Twitter. Give me a follow, @_Pruitt on Twitter, and also follow Jason Miller there. That's jmiller1981 on Twitter. And he says, Aunt Pruitt, or anyone else, would love your input on this photo. It was taken this year on the 4th of my niece, and I originally just ignored it as it was an experiment with long exposure. But I just came across it and thought it was interesting, even with the motion blur. Okay, so that is a very, very cool photograph. He did email this to me and with, you know, giving me consent to show it on the show. So let's hop back into my Lightroom here and take a look-see at it. And there's not much that I could say on this because I like it. I like it as it is. I like the contrast it has here as far as it having a little bit of motion blur because its shutter is slowing down just a little bit. But yet the sparkler itself is fairly crispy and clear. He was able to freeze a good bit of the sparkler there. You can even zoom in some and look at the details of the little sparks coming off of the sparkler. They're nice and sharp. Where on the other hand, the child was clearly moving and it has a bit of a weird little ghosting effect there, but I don't know. I dig it. There's not much that I would suggest on this one. One of my little personal preferences, and I don't say this is anything wrong, but the watermark, I don't like large watermarks. I just don't. Some people stand by them. Some people don't. I just don't. If I were to do a watermark, I would make the watermark at about 20% opacity, so it's not as big like that. Quite frankly, I hate saying this, but people watermark their images and still get their images stolen anyway, because you can remove watermarks. You can crop out watermarks. But that's a whole other story as far as image registration and legal battles and stuff like that. But yeah, Mr. Miller, there's not much I would do with this. I love what you did here. If anything, this upper portion here at the top of the frame, this little bright hot spot there, maybe take the adjustment brush. I know you use Capture One, but take an adjustment brush inside of Capture One and just try to darken it down just a little bit. So we'll say burn here. And just brush in a little bit of a burn to try to tone that down at the top. Just a little bit. Not too obvious, but just, you know, just enough to know that that hot spot is not there getting all of the attention of the viewer. The attention should go to the sparkler and to the chow, not necessarily that backdrop there. Okay. But that is my that's my thoughts on this images on this image here. So, folks, do me a favor. Go follow Jason over on Twitter. Check out that photo and leave him your feedback and let him know what your thoughts are. This is a community. Share your thoughts. I'm sure he would love to hear your thoughts and any types of processing that you would suggest for this type of image. All right. Okay, now before we move on, I want to take just a few minutes to thank this week's fine sponsor, the folks at ExpressVPN. This episode of Hands On Photography is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Okay, it's December, which means we can officially start watching Christmas movies. But what if you go to Netflix and your favorite Christmas movie isn't available? You can use ExpressVPN to watch any Netflix library in the world. This weekend, I use ExpressVPN to stream a good old classic, Elf, on the German Netflix. Why Elf? Because Will Ferrell, duh. I just opened the app, hit one button to change my location, refreshed, and that's it. If you visit my special link right now, expressvpn.com/hop, you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show, watch what you want, and get your holiday fix at expressvpn.com/hop. And we thank ExpressVPN for their support. All right. Before I move on to another bit of feedback here, I want to piggyback off of Mr. Miller's feedback. And if you notice, I mentioned that he post-processes inside of Capture One. I have Capture One as well. Most of the time I do use Lightroom and the rest of the Adobe suite because I have my own reasons. But Capture One is another photo editor out there that's really, really daggum good. And it just recently updated. So if you head on over to their website, we'll put a link in there in the show notes here. But it just recently updated and it's got a couple different pricing options out there. You can buy it flat out for one flat fee and you have it. Or you can get an annual subscription and you're going to get the updates each year when it comes out. So that's totally up to you. I know how people feel about subscription costs and things like that. But hey, you do have some options out there beyond the world of Adobe. OK, another one that's out there is from Luminar AI. It's a beautiful piece of software that does a great job with handling a lot of photo manipulation as well as just retouching and post-processing. That's a little bit less expensive. We'll put a link in our show notes for their website as well. But you have some options out there. It's not just the likes of the Adobe suite, but just shop around, see where it works best for you. OK. All right, so now let's go ahead and move on and check out this next bit of feedback, which happens to be an image critique from someone that, wow, it really warmed my heart to see this one in the inbox. So let's open this up here. Pruitt, longtime listener, first time submitter. In reference to your latest post about why I'm a photographer, I have to say I became a photographer purely out of the thirst to create. I love the process of creating, the discovery or something, figuring out the best light and angle, and then bringing it home to bring it to life on my screen. Art in general is a deeply personal and sometimes spiritual thing within us, and putting it out there and risking the judgment can be discouraging, if not terrifying. So true. But part of my growing edge is to push a little more to promote my work more, and not just put it on a website and hope people see it. So, hope you like these few from my latest outing this fall. Critique away, Joseph Hawk. Follow him on Instagram at Joseph Hawk Photography. Ooh, man, this is Joseph Hawk. Joe Hawk, as I know him, is someone that I used to work with a couple years ago. And outstanding man, just legit outstanding human being. And his photography skills are definitely top notch. And man, it's an honor to see a friend watching my show and wanting to participate on the show. So, Joe, hey, brother, thank you so much for that. Now, let's go ahead and take a look at his image here. Actually, you sent me a couple, but I'm going to use two. All right. First shot here. Man, What gets me is he said he shot this in a fall outing, but this thing is so green. Holy moly, just beautifully green. There are a couple of different colors that fell in here. The oranges and yellows from the trees of autumn. But this is such a green photograph, and I don't even care what time of year it is. It's just beautiful, beautiful crop. I love the crop on this at the 16:9 aspect ratio and the technical skills of a slow shutter. Nice slow shutter speed. Let me see if I can tell what the shutter speed is on here. Let's see. Scroll down. Lightroom says, wow, beautiful. This is a 10-second shutter. Long exposure for sure. Shot it at f20, 24 millimeter on the focal length. This is, man. Joe, I love this. I'm not changing a thing on here. This would be a beautiful print. I love the leading line, the way it makes me go from left of the frame, bottom left of the frame, up through the middle of the frame, going more so to the upper right, all the way back up to the top upper right of the frame. It's just, I love leading lines. That's one of my weaknesses when it comes to landscape photography. And again, I love the technical part of it where you slow down your shutter to get that water movement to be a little bit more of a beautiful mist in the waterfall, and not just crispy water droplets or anything like that. It's just silky, beautiful water. I love this, man. And this was shot with a 60 Mark II using a 24-70. Beautiful lens. Oh, that's a great lens. Man, that's a great lens. Okay, so now he got another one here. This is, again, using a slow shutter. This is a 2.5-second shutter speed at f22, 24 millimeter focal length that's found here in the metadata. Again, we got this beautiful slow shutter giving us this mist from the waterfall, and it just flat out works. What I would do from a critique standpoint on this one, because something stood out right out the gate, I'll get to that in a second, but I would take the exposure and raise it up just a touch, just a little bit, like so, because I thought it was a little dark from the get-go. And if you look at it, look at the histogram. Let's go and look at the histogram when we first brought it in. Notice how everything is sort of leaning to the left. It's not a lot of black in this image, but it's starting to lean more to the left of the histogram. So I'm going to take the exposure up. I'll take it up to maybe one full stop or so. And I think that looks a lot better just right out the gate. And if you want to add a vignette to it, you could. So let's put a little bit of a vignette, something like that, just to make us focus more so on that leading line of the waterfall there. Okay, so now the nitpick thing that I have. We have this beautiful soft water mist going on right here in the middle of the frame, but right here where this rock edge is, it just doesn't sit well with me. It's just too sharp for some reason. And I know that sounds weird, and in photography it's too sharp, but sometimes you can't have over sharp parts of your image. And I personally think this would look better if this was a bit more of a blend, to show some, like there's a mist or a little bit of blurring happening from the water going closer to that, because it looks too Photoshopped, if you will. That's a phrase that I can use on here safely, right? It looks too Photoshopped. Even though it's not Photoshopped, you just mechanically set this up inside of your camera. So what I would do is I would take an adjustment brush and I would try to just soften up that area. There's a preset inside of Lightroom that says soften skin, where it basically takes the clarity and just rolls it all the way back. So let's just go ahead and zoom in on this a little bit. Drop a pen, and we'll just brush in a little bit of softness on the edges where it's needed. And it's not needed in all of this photograph. I just noticed it right there, front and center. Can even take the texture and just roll that back some too. Take the sharpness, roll that back. Don't go too far, because then it's going to look really, really fake. And it doesn't fix the problem. So just be mindful. to make it just blend in a little bit more, make there be a little bit more of a transition going from the water to the stone edges there. That's my opinion. So let's brush that back some more. Something like that. Push through. I'm going to check the rest of it. See this edge here too? It's just a little too rugged, a little too sharp for me. That's the problem at shooting at F22 with the super duper quality lens. You get all of the details. So let's just brush it back some. There we go. But you get my drift. You know, and you can do this through a bunch of different parts of it, of the image, just to soften it up some. It's not everywhere. I just noticed it here and there. You know what I mean? Like that. There we go. All right, so I'm going to turn that off and let's do a little side-by-side comparison here. So now let's take a look. Click in a little more. Let's see, we'll make this 300%. So this is here on the left. This is what it looked like originally. And this is after post-processing, right? Zoom out differently. Yeah, see, I think it looks a little better that way. All right, so then if we turn the lights out, you can get an even better view. There you go. Not as harsh. I can still brush up a little bit more right here, but I think you all get the drift, okay? All right, so that is it for this week's episode, folks. Joe Hawk, thank you again, my man. Mr. Miller, thank you. And Mr. Jason, thank you for your email as well. Folks, if you have any questions or feedback, again, just tag me over on Twitter and Instagram. I'm @_Pruitt on Twitter. I'm @_Pruitt over on Instagram. Or just shoot an email to hop@twit.tv. And make sure if you want to show your images on air, I need your consent before I can show them. I'm just going to say it flat out. I'm not going to put them on air without your consent. Okay. Again, thank you all for the continued support. Thank you for an outstanding 2020, even though 2020 has been pretty craptastic for the most of us on so many levels. I am so grateful to be able to sit here and chat with you all each and every week and share these photo tips and tricks to help all of us be better photographers and post-processor. Does mean a lot to have your support. With that said, this will be the last episode for 2020 of Hands-On Photography. I will see you all next time in year 2021. And we're still going to keep just doing our best to create and dominate. All right, folks, you all take care and I'll see you then.
Want more Twit? Well, check out Smart Tech today. It's at twit.tv/STT. It's the show where Matthew Casanelli and I cover everything there is to know about smart tech. It's automation. It's connected devices. It's smart home. It's all those goodies and so much more. We get the news. We get the latest devices. We do reviews. Everything. You got to check it out. twit.tv/STT for Smart Tech today.